The son of a blind woman decides he's going to start his own company because he's furious at the lack of resources for people with visual disabilities. And he's grown that business into a multi-million dollar company. You're going to hear directly from him today on Driven by Purpose.
This is Driven by Purpose, a show about finding your purpose, building fulfilling careers, and helping people with disabilities live better lives. Hosted by three men who've lived it and are here to help you do the same. Special thanks to our presenting sponsor, Clean Logic, a leading bath and skincare company and a true pioneer in creating inclusive workplaces and increasing employment opportunities for people with disabilities.
All right, we're here. Welcome to the show. I'm Evan, along with Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. And today's episode is going to focus on a guy I've known for more than 20 years, a guy I met when I was in college, when I had a goatee and earrings, and I thought I was this cool kid at Arizona State. Meanwhile, he was plotting to create a multi-million dollar company that has an unbelievable, noble mission. Isaac Shapiro, what's up, man? How you doing?
Evan, good to see you. Thanks for having me on this show that we have all come together to collaborate on.
It's amazing. And by the way, when we knew each other back then, I had no idea that we would end up here now, along with your business partner, Mike Gesser. Mike, also, I mean, we're going to get to your whole origin story in a little bit here. I think what you've done together with Isaac is truly inspiring. It's amazing. And it's the reason I'm here, because I'm so inspired by both of you. So, Mike, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Evan.
Yeah. So, Isaac, I mean, I think that people deserve to know what happened here. I mean, you know, the short story is what we said in the intro, that you were frustrated with the situation involving your mom, who is blind and has been blind since she was a child, and you decided to create this multi-million dollar company on it. We're going to get to that story. But before we get to all that, I just kind of want to hear about, you want to hear about you and your mom and how she inspired you to really, you know, get out there and create and do your own thing, man. Let's hear about Beatrice.
Yes. My mom, Beatrice, has been blind since age 7. And when she grew up in Mexico, my mother was surrounded by her sisters and cousins, and they encouraged her to go to school in the United States. And so she came to the United States to go to school at the Alamogordo School for the Blind. And this is where she immigrated from Mexico and really learned how to use Braille. And this program started from, you know, elementary school all the way to a college program. And this is where actually my mom and my dad met. My dad was doing his master's program at the school. And this is where he met my mom and was her track coach. And so my mom has always been an inspirational person. But really where my mom having an impact on my life is when we moved to Arizona when I was a young child, around age 5, and she was working for the U.S. military after going to school. She was a telephone operator using computers on how to transfer calls from the White House and Pentagon when she was working for the U.S. military. And she took that skill set and she started volunteering at her local nonprofit in Tucson that served the blind community. And she got my grandparents to donate a computer and she started teaching individuals on how to use adaptive technology. And as time started to develop into this hobby, my mom spent quite a bit of time building this program, teaching blind to visually impaired individuals on how to use adaptive technology to gain employment. And that was just a huge impact on my life. And I think the other impact that was really important for me was a lot of the students that she had had lost their vision at a later part in their life. And a lot of these individuals were successful individuals. One actually was playing basketball at the University of Kansas, and they lost their sight and they had to decide, am I going to go through that phase where, you know, I'm going to feel sorry for myself, or am I going to go out and do something? And a lot of these individuals, when they met with my mom, learned how to use adaptive technology. And then it was amazing to see, you know, the career paths that they chose after going blind. And so those are some very impactful parts of my youth that really I feel have impacted why I'm so passionate about helping the blind and visually impaired community and all individuals with disabilities.
So then you get to Arizona State where we met. And while I'm sitting there drinking Coronas at, you know, Dos Gringos, which is one of the bars that was great at the time, you were sitting there figuring out how to use your mom's experience to fuel you to start a company. And I'm curious, and I guess we'll talk about this when we get back from the break, like what those big moments were that really kind of set the actions into motion. Because everybody has ideas. And again, that's one of the big points of this show is everybody... You discover your purpose, you find out what motivates you, but it's taking that next step to actually do it. And I can't wait to hear about that when we get back right after this. All right, welcome to the show. I am so excited to be here. I am honored to be here with Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser. Isaac, I have known for more than 20 years. We went to Arizona State together when I had a goatee and 10-gauge earrings and was drinking beers at Dos Gringos. He was plotting to take over the world, man. He had already had plans to start his own company that was based on a purpose that he had found connected to his mom, who's been blind since she was a child. So Isaac, I want to hear a little bit about your mom, Beatrice, and how she impacted your life. And also, when, I know this is a bizarre question, but I think it's important, like, at what point in your life did you realize that she was blind?
Yeah, well, thank you, Evan. And I've been really proud of my mom. She's been an impact in my life early on. As you said, she's been blind since age 7. And growing up, I never really saw my mom blind until we went out in public. And that's when people would stare at us walking into restaurants. And that's when I was reminded of my mom being blind. But when you look at what my mom has been able to accomplish in my life outside of raising myself and my sister and doing an amazing job as a wife to my father, my mom started a tech training program early in her career and helped blind and visually impaired individuals learn how to use adaptive technology to gain employment.
That's incredible, dude. Your mom is an amazing person. Number one, because she had to raise you.
hey, watch it.
Yeah, no, but also she was really multitasking. I mean, you were talking about how she had the family dynamic and then she was also innovating and trailblazing this new career, with this condition. But, you know, at what point in your life did you decide, what was the moment where you're like, this is where I want to build my career around. This is my purpose. What do you remember the specific moment?
Growing up, I watched my mom create this tech training program from the ground up. You know, my grandparents donated the first computer. Then we had to do a fundraising program. And then she ended up getting a couple more students. And then she had to get state and grant funding. And so she started to build this program. And it started from a small room in part of this nonprofit called the Tucson Association for the Blind. And I remember as I went on to college, the program had two of those mobile units outside and the program was flourishing. And a lot of her students that I got to meet were people that went blind later in their life. And what I learned a lot from them is that depression phase of when you go blind and what do you decide to do in life? Is it to feel sorry for yourself, to stay secluded in life, or you go out and you embrace it and you want to do something you're passionate about? And that was what I learned a lot about with passion. But the real big moment was in college, being a supply chain major, you know, learning about sourcing, thinking about my internship. And it's my junior year and my mom is basically having to make a decision to leave this tech training program because they're not willing to pay her what she was worth. And at that time, making less than $20,000. And when my mom had to walk away from this program, it was like we lost a child in our family, the amount of work, the amount of weekends we spent on that. And to see my mom lose it, it was like that defining moment that I'm going to go in and really start my own business. And I knew I had to really start something that's going to give back and that would fund something that I'm passionate about, which is creating employment opportunities for blind people.
Hey, Isaac, do you think that passion that you were talking about was something that you saw as a kid was one of the major factors in driving you to start your own business and to become a social entrepreneur?
You know, I always had a fascination because we, you know, middle-class family, so we didn't get to travel, fly around, but I always was intrigued with seeing businessmen, or my uncle who owned his own business in Mexico. But it really was being in business school and having that moment of someone taking something that, you know, like your family was a part of. And I think that was the wake up moment of like, hey, I'm going to take this knowledge I'm taking in school. I love that, you know, being half Mexican, being able to speak Spanish, I had the ability to go work in international, and that's where I wanted to be able to go. So you take those forces of an emotional factor and then, you know, some of those dreams that you have. And it was just the perfect time to start a business my senior year in college.
There's a big gap between identifying your passion and then pursuing it, actually actively pursuing it. And that's where a lot of people get stuck. And I want to hear about how you and Mike crossed that gap and actually started your business. And then you've, you know, created and built it into this multi-million dollar empire it is today. And we're going to hear more about that when we come back on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, and I am joined by the co-founders of Clean Logic and the Inspiration Foundation, Isaac Shapiro and Mike Gesser, two guys who built this company from the ground up into a multi-million dollar business that's been going on for more than 24 years now. It's an incredible business, not only because they make premium skincare tools, but also the fact that they are so connected and they are at the tip of the spear when it comes to hiring people with disabilities, creating packaging for people with all abilities. It's an incredible story, and I want to hear more about it. Isaac, you know, we just heard about your childhood with your mom, who's been blind since she was a child. How did you take that experience and build it and grow it into what it's become today?
Yeah, when we started, you know, the business, again, we're a little bit more in this serial entrepreneurial. So it's like, well, what is the product that's going to work? And what product do we want to sell? And so early on, we sold a lot of different products. We brought in stuff from Brazil, and we did fish, wine. But what really, as we started to look at the people we were partnering with, we were like, we don't want to be importers, or these people could potentially cut us out. We want to build our own brand. And right around 2005, 2006, what was happening, we saw the Susan B. Komen cancer, you know, ribbon become part of it, and the give back program. And as Mike and I were looking for an area, an opportunity to find white space, we really wanted to give back. And so the perfect timing happened where we found some unique fabrics that we infused with the brand Clean Logic. And then what we wanted to do is give back. And that's where the whole Braille concept and creating Braille and making our packaging accessible. But what was more unique is we wanted to give back to the blind community, but there was no nonprofit that would cover the whole U.S., provide tech grants, and it was this big, broad vision. And so instead of trying to keep finding another nonprofit, I came up with the idea of, well, why don't we create our own nonprofit? We can control where the money goes. And so that's when we launched the Inspiration Foundation to provide tech grants to nonprofits where, you know, they might need help funding their tech training programs to help blind people learn, adapt to technology to gain employment.
It's amazing. I mean, what you've done is amazing. I mean, you just said it wasn't there, so I just built it myself. And a lot of people are afraid to do that. And the fact that you guys did that. Mike, what was it like, you know, connecting with Isaac and you know, feel like a lot, and I don't mean this in a negative way at all, but I feel like a lot of CEOs and entrepreneurs, they're trying to strip everything down to save every single penny at the cost of doing things that are important to them and could help people. What was it like when you guys were talking this out and putting together your business plan?
Yeah. So first thing I need to say about Isaac is there's no shortage of passion. I clearly remember the day I met him. I'll never forget it. I saw this guy and he just was going with this, you know, amazing idea. And it revolved around tomato sauce at the time and a special can. But when you talk about, like, you know, sometimes there's all these great ideas, but there's no action. You need to have action. This guy had plenty of action. There was never an issue. And I was immediately drawn to that. And the other thing I would say is with the passion, like the way he spoke about tomato sauce at the time, I'm like, oh, I've never seen anything like this in my life. I've never met a person like this. And I was immediately drawn to him and I knew that I wanted to work with him. And then as we started doing our business, when it came to creating the products, the first iteration of CleanLogic products and connecting it to the Inspiration Foundation, like it was always for the beginning. There was always the desire to link our business and doing good. And the Inspiration Foundation was at the same time, here's what we're going to do. We're going to take a portion of our profits. We're going to build this organization and we're going to help people who are blind and visually impaired get better chance at employment opportunities. It was always there. And this guy never had a shortage of gasoline to keep that car moving ever.
I'm curious when you guys decided you wanted to do Braille packaging, which I imagine has to cost more than traditional non-Braille packaging. There must have been some pushback for some people that were like, guys, what are we doing here? This isn't cost effective. How did you navigate that?
So when we started doing CleanLogic packaging, Braille was always something that was in our idea. And, you know, there's Braille printers for paper, but our products originally came in poly bags. And so we tried everything. There was stickers that we created. And yes, there was the cost to create the sticker and then to apply the sticker. There were so many things that we tried. And finally, what we ended up with was deciding to go with paper packaging for many reasons. But one, we knew we could emboss and we knew we could do Braille on it. And that's what we ended up doing. And now it's part of our branding and everything we do.
I love it. So it was basically non-negotiable. You were like, I don't care if it costs more. This is important to us. And we're going to figure out how to make this work.
Correct.
Well, I think what's been interesting is even it's been a journey on how to get the Braille work, you know, so that was definitely expensive. And I'll never forget a couple of the buyers asking like, well, how many people in the United States read Braille? And I'm like, only 12% of blind people read Braille. And they're like, well, why would you do that if not all of it? And how much did that mold cost? And so was it really worth it? And so it's really interesting at that time, a lot of people were challenging it and was it worth it? And again, we have always been a premium product, but people really were questioning if it was the right thing. And my favorite response in that whole Braille piece, because I've learned Braille has so much more meaning than just you can legally, you know, read it and it's a language, but every person that touches and feels it, whether they have a connection to disability or not, Braille has a meaning of whether it's reminding about something that they've never had a connection with a blind person and they recognize it and it clicks into their mind. Oh, blind people use this. But my biggest thing was people in saying, how can people read this? Or why would you want to spend this kind of money on your Braille when people can't read? It's like saying, well, do you want to send your children to school and just let them watch TV and listen to radio? Braille is a language, and Braille, what we have seen with success rate in creating independence for people with disabilities, especially in the blind community, is the more that they read Braille, the higher success rate. So there is a correlation of reading Braille and that success of creating an independent life.
Yeah. And can I add on that, you know, when people start saying, forget a certain group of people because there's not a lot of them, it bothers me so much, right? My daughter, we've talked about this, has severe disabilities. She's in a wheelchair. She's nonverbal. She uses a communication system that very few people in the world use. It's called POD. And essentially what it is, it's a video program where she can scroll through different columns of words, and she learns pathways, and she can string together sentences and communicate that way. But very few people use it. And if people were just like, oh, well, since only a few people in the world use it, we don't really have to recognize that, or we shouldn't lean into funding systems that help people like that communicate. My daughter wouldn't have a voice if it wasn't for that system. And so I'm grateful for it. And so for you guys to say, okay, only 12% of blind people read Braille, but it's important to those 12% of people. And we're not going to compromise that. I think that's an incredible thing that you guys did.
Thank you. The other thing I want to add to that is whether it gives those 12% the ability to read what the product is. And I think it's also creating the awareness, right? It's part of our brand. It's a part of our brand that shows people, here's what we're about. Here's what we support. Here are the things that we want to change in the world. And if it's Braille, not everybody's exposed to Braille. So if you're going to go buy a product at a store and take it home, you're going to see it on the packaging and you're going to be reminded of that, even if there's nobody in your life that's blind or visually impaired or disabled or cannot read Braille. So for us, it's always been part of it and something we needed to yell essentially as loudly as we can on the product.
So in addition to that, you guys have evolved and grown as a company over the years. And one of the things that really touched me is your initiative to not just in your company, but for other companies to hire more people with disabilities onto the workforce, something that obviously you guys are very passionate about. You guys are leaders. It's not just talk. You guys are doing the work. I've seen news packages covering your company specifically because of your initiative to hire people with disabilities. Can you walk me through what that was like for you, how you guys became connected to that mission, and also why aren't more companies jumping? How do we get more companies to get on board with this?
Yeah.
Great question.
Yeah, no, I think, when you look at this, I want to make sure we save the big why for Mike's episode, because Mike's daughter has been a big part of our inspiration, and I can't wait to talk about that. But when you think about what we've been doing with Inspiration Foundation, you know, one of the things that Mike has always said, he's like, it's great that we're giving money. We're great that we're doing great things, but we need to hire people with disabilities. And so our moment came during the pandemic when, because we own our factory in China, we have built our factory, we employ close to 150 people out there. We thought, well, why don't we bring jobs back to the US? And also, if we're going to invest in infrastructure, we know with prices of containers and all that chaos that was happening during the pandemic, we knew that prices would get to a place where people would want it to go back to China because of the production or the lower cost. And we've also, over the years, being in the blind community, seen nonprofits called lighthouses that manufacture product for the government, U.S. military, excuse me, especially. And you have to have over 75% of the workforce are individuals with disabilities. So we've always said we would love to do that as a private business. And so the pandemic, looking for innovative ways, and we see even today with the geopolitical climate, with tariffs, we've been working for the last 3 years on how to onshore back to the US. And so it was really a way to solve a problem and to also be able to double down on our mission to hire individuals with disabilities, because I think that was the last component that I think if we're going to really get out there and get people to do what we're doing, it's we need to hire people with disabilities. And I think what was even most amazing is the amount of people, you know, with LinkedIn and social media have come to us and be like, oh, we'd love to do something like that. Or I have a goddaughter that is autistic and we'd love to do what you're doing. That's where Mike and I have really realized that we can inspire other people to do what we're doing. And we're not just also inspiring people. There's economic benefits that come when you hire individuals with disabilities. Partnering with Pennsylvania Voc Rehab, which is where, you know, headquartered in Pennsylvania, Vocational Rehab is a state entity that helped us find and recruit individuals with disabilities. And then they also help us with retention, bringing in 3 months of program to help us make sure that this is the right employee, giving their job coach with this. So, and then the biggest thing was the culture impact. And I think that's where we're really excited to get there, because we've watched people within our organizations who have not had a disability, we've watched their interaction and watch them transform. And we've watched so much purpose throughout our organization. And when culture hits, productivity happens, safety record. When you take a look at even our productivity, we went 4 years without a workplace injury. And that's a 100,000 square foot facility with production and warehousing and forklifts. And we went 4 years without that. So those are the impacts.
Well, that's something that I feel like a lot of employers are afraid of, right? They're like, oh, I don't want to hire people with disabilities because it's a safety risk or this and that, or it's going to affect, you know, chemistry and the relationships in the building. But you're saying that's all a load of, you know what, not only is that not true, that having people with disabilities in the workforce seems to be good for business, but also I want to touch on the fact that like you're getting help from the state on that. They're actually helping you find and recruit. And did I hear you right when you said that they're helping fund some of their salaries?
Yeah. Training. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. 3 months of what their salary and part of what it is. So it's just all part of that training period. And the number one piece of why companies are not hiring people with disabilities is fear, you know, of potentially being sued or just not knowing or the knowledge of it. And I love what we've been able to, you know, come up with around a saying within our office, it's anybody can do anything. And I think that's the mindset you have to have when you're looking at incorporating individuals with disabilities. And let's also remember what we're going to be seeing here in the next couple of years with labor shortages. We're seeing now with, you know, a lot of immigrants who had jobs being deported. And so we think what we're working on and what we're getting people to realize is this is a group that we have not tapped into and that can fill a lot of the jobs that us as employers, where today economic data is showing that really there's only one for one of individuals that are available in the workplace. So we know how getting the young group and millennials to stay at your job, you got to bring them purpose, but we're really think we're bringing something because we've even seen the turnover rate is very low, very loyal community. And so we think this is—
God, that's such a great point, Isaac. I'm sorry to cut you off.
No,
but
please.
I think that's such a great point you just made about young people and, you know, everybody makes fun of like the young staffers now and millennials and that stuff about trying to get them to get to a job and commit. But it is true that when you see young people that are passionate about something that's bigger than just the specific job, their duty, if they feel like there's a larger purpose to it, if they feel like their job is actually doing something good and creating good in the world, they're more likely to stay and commit to that job and work harder and want to help advance it rather than just trying to put more money in the boss's pocket, right?
Correct.
I think that's incredible. I think what you guys are doing, great. Look, we want to talk more about this. We're going to take a quick break and we'll be right back to finish our conversation with Isaac on Driven by Purpose. Welcome back to Driven by Purpose. My name is Evan Rosenblum, along with Mike Gesser and Isaac Shapiro, the co-founders of Clean Logic, the Inspiration Foundation. And also, there's a new thing you guys are working on. This is amazing. I can't wait to hear all about it. It's called the Inspiration Seal. Isaac, tell me all about this thing.
Yeah, no, I think when you think about what we've done as a for-profit company at Clean Logic, you have Inspiration Foundation, and what we're doing here with Driven by Purpose is really going back to our why and why we're passionate. It's to increase employment for individuals with disabilities by 10%. So I know it's a big, ambitious goal, but this is what we see as the Inspiration Foundation seal is a way for us to certify companies that hire individuals with disabilities. And then we want to create a movement around this seal and getting other people to hire individuals with disabilities. And that's where we see building this community of champions that are going to help us track and hit that number. And 10% is 6 million jobs that we have to make an impact on.
I love it. I think this is great. I think that if I'm shopping in a store, if I'm going to Walmart or whatever it is, and I'm trying to debate between two products and I see one that has a seal that said, we, you know, 10% of our workforce or a certain percent of our workforce is an individual with disabilities, as a parent of a child with severe disabilities, I am inclined to support that business. And I think that's a great thing that you guys are doing. Number one, because it inspires companies to hire people with disabilities. And it shows people that they're just as capable as anybody else with the right, with the proper training and all that stuff.
And I think that's the point. I think first, it would be great if Clean Logic could hire 6 million people, and we're going to continue to grow our business to hire as many people as we can. But the purpose of Inspiration Foundation and the SEAL is to get more companies to see what we are doing at Clean Logic, teach them and show them that it's not difficult. It's not cost prohibitive to be able to open your doors to people with disabilities, an otherwise overlooked population of very, very capable people that when given an opportunity can contribute so much to an organization. So for us, it's about this getting the word out and talking to people. For me, I'd love to open the doors at Clean Logic so people can see how we've made our business more accessible, the little things that we do that make such a huge impact. And Inspiration Foundation and the SEAL is our way of reaching out to those companies and giving them the opportunity to do the same.
Isaac, one final question for you before we have to wrap this up, but what would you say to your mom today about how she inspired this journey and inspired your career? Like, what would you say to her?
Man, thank you for helping me discover purpose. And it's about the journey. And when you have purpose, no matter how hard and difficult, that's what's going to get you through those tough times. And then when you look back, because Mike and I are on this almost 25-year journey, it's like, wow, I can't believe I went through all that and I'm here today. And it's that purpose and the determination that she has taught me that I just feel is why we're here today on this show and why we're successful and why we want other people to discover purpose in their life.
I think that's amazing. What you guys are doing are incredible. And Mike, we are going to focus on your story, your journey, your purpose in our next episode. But in the meantime, if Isaac's story moved you, please share it. Follow Driven by Purpose on all social media platforms. Support inclusive hiring. Visit inspirationfoundation.org to learn how you can help increase disability employment by 10%, hopefully more. That's going to do it for our show today, Driven by Purpose. Thank you so much for watching, listening, and we'll see you next time.